It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving.
Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
That's right. That's right. It's a tough one tonight. This is the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show. My name is Matt Rury, and the Celtics lose a heartbreaker tonight in Milwaukee, 106-102. It did come down to the last couple of possessions there, even though going into this game, and we will touch on this as we go out throughout this show, the Celtics were without pretty much every single point guard on their roster. I don't know if you want to categorize guys like Kadeem Allen, Jabari Bird, or Xavier Silas, who's a 6'5", 30-year-old man they just signed to a 10-day contract as point guards. But as far as I'm concerned, all four Celtics point guards were out tonight, and the result is kind of what I expected it to be, but I'm pretty impressed with the way that they actually stayed in this game, considering the opponent and the way that they had to buckle down without having any real leadership as far as the in-game action is concerned. So tonight we are not going to be negative on this show. We're going to look at the positive because there were some good things to take out of this game. And I think with those injuries, the overall result is acceptable. I bring in my co-host for tonight, Mr. Colin Letty. What's going on, Colin?
Happy to be here, man. That was a tough one. You look at the guys who didn't play. I mean, Smart, Irving, Tice, Rozier, Larkin, obviously Hayward out, and it was just really point guard by committee tonight. I mean, Kadeem Allen, I think he's played maybe, I don't know, he's averaging like 3 minutes a game. So I think at this point, with so many guys out, everything has just been, you know, I was hoping that they could go 500 down this stretch up until the playoffs. You know, I think they've gone 7-3 down the stretch. So, I mean, everything until the playoffs is kind of gravy. Just a little extra.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way they're looking at it, I think, as far as the organization is concerned. I'm sure that they're happy with what's been transpiring over the past couple of weeks. The Celtics have been playing great basketball without their three of their top six rotation guys. I mean, depending on how you want to look at it. And obviously, you can argue where Marcus Smart falls in that line, where Daniel Tice might fall in that line, but there's no question where Kyrie Irving is as far as that rotation is concerned. And Gordon Hayward is the one that you don't even need to mention anymore. So
yeah,
we know that they're without him. They've been playing great without him already this season. So it's just a testament to the players on this team. And I mean, they look pretty deep right now. They look like a team that has a solid bench, and I like the experience that they're getting for Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, guys like that, who we expect to stick around for quite a long time here. So before we really dig into this thing, I have to remind everybody, of course, that the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio is brought to you by SeatGeek. And SeatGeek, if you don't know already, which you should if you're listening to this show, is one of the easiest and best ways to buy tickets to any sporting event or concert that you are looking for. And, I mean, all the other websites, sometimes they're confusing, they can be complicated, but SeatGeek is really easy. So go get the SeatGeek app. It's by far the best way to shop for tickets that you're looking for. Anywhere you are, just a few taps, you're going to find the seats you're looking for. And earlier this season, I bought Celtics Pelicans tickets on SeatGeek, and guess what? Celtics got smoked in New Orleans. I was down there for a little vacation a couple weeks ago, and man, do I wish that I wasn't at that game. But buying the tickets was easy, so go check it out. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code GardenReport, and you'll get $20 off your first purchase. That's the promo code is GardenReport. $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase when you download the app. And thank you to SeatGeek for sponsoring the show. Much appreciated. All right, Colin. I don't really have – usually when I come into a show, there's been a clear direction or things have transpired throughout the game, and it's obvious what topics are going to be on people's minds. Tonight, I don't really have a plan, my man. So it's kind of going to be a free for all. But I do want to quickly touch on Kadeem Allen because you mentioned him, and he was starting point guard technically for the Celtics tonight. And actually, I thought in the first 5 minutes of the game, he looked pretty good. But once you get into the rotation with guys like Greg Monroe coming off the bench and Marcus Morris coming off the bench, his minutes didn't really go down. He did play over 20 minutes, but his role kind of disappeared out there. So I want to give him props for starting the game pretty solidly and getting the Celtics off on the right foot. But in reality, I mean, he's just not an NBA point guard, and he did the best he could.
Yeah, I mean, it was really thrown into the fire right there. It comes out with a -7 plus minus. So, I mean, I think anything that he could give you, again, it's just kind of like this game. It's a plus. And I think, you know, he gave you 20 solid minutes. It's what you needed. If you look down the bench, there really wasn't anyone else. So, I mean, it's a tough situation to be put in, but I think he handled it with some grace. But
it's tough to say who else was going to be the point guard tonight. And I figured that Jabari Bird would see some time. He didn't. But, I mean, the Celtics have started letting even Horford / Monroe at one point bring the ball up. Marcus Morris has brought the ball up. Jason Tatum was given the ball a lot. And I'll tell you, I love the experience of Jason Tatum bringing the basketball up in his rookie season because I think that this kid is a sponge. And he is just going to remember that for the rest of his career, and it's just going to help him down the line.
Yeah, and this is kind of a weird situation for a rookie to be in because not only is he getting valuable minutes, you know, if he was on the Lakers, you know, whatever, he'd be the star of the team, right, like Lonzo. But here he is playing valuable minutes. I think on this stretch he's been the most valuable player since all these injuries. And then also it's in the middle of the playoff run, so he's getting experience minutes in important games too.
Yeah, and I love that for him. And if you look at the way that Jaylen Brown has played this year, and he was awesome tonight. We can touch on him a little bit later because he knocked down a couple of big shots, fadeaway jumpers, hands in his face, stuff like that. He looks like he's fully recovered. But if you look at the way he's been playing this year, I think he's taken a step forward in a lot of different areas of his game. And that's rare for a lot of sophomores in the league. I mean, sure, he's a top five pick. So you would think that he would be talented enough to make that step. But a lot of guys up and down the draft struggle in that sophomore season and then break out afterwards. So I think that's kind of a testament to the coaching staff. And I would expect Jason Tatum to do something similar next year. So the more I see him get time in different and see different situations on the court, the more excited I get about the future of the Celtics. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and you're going to see Brown's going to be an all-star next year. There's no doubt. There was an argument for him to be making it this year. But like you said, the development of these guys, you got to give it to Brad Stevens and the coaching staff because we haven't seen a lot of guys come into – I mean, we talk about Danny Ainge not being the best drafter, and now he's being he's hitting on these guys, but he also has this coach who's obviously relates to the younger players a little bit better, and there's no doubt in my mind – after going through this stretch, losing all these guys, he has to be coach of the year, right?
I would say so. He wouldn't agree with you, though. I mean, he
looks course, yeah, modest Brad.
He gets my vote.
I think the only guy you could argue is Dwayne Casey, just because, you know, I think expectations were a little bit lower in Toronto than they were in Boston this year. But yep. I don't think we didn't foresee all these injuries happening, and the way they've been able to ride it and still come out with a you know, above 500 record, you know, 7-3, 7-2, whatever it is, that has to clinch it, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the Eastern Conference anyway, you know Popovich is going to get votes regardless of where the Spurs end up. Maybe not so much this year, but I think people are going to look at Mike D'Antoni in Houston and really pile on him. He looks like the lead candidate for me just because of how far ahead they are, despite injuries to some of the other teams in the West. But if you're talking about the Eastern Conference and – It's definitely Brad Stevens in my mind, just because of all the injuries that they have overcome. And Dwayne Casey is a strong second one there. And I don't know. I think they're both pretty close to D'Antoni overall, but just the record alone for Houston I feel like it's going to be a runaway for Mike D'Antoni as far as Coach of the Year is concerned. But either way, I wanted to ask you this after this game here, because Milwaukee is a potential playoff matchup for the Celtics. They are currently in a three-way tie for sixth place, and I believe with the tiebreaker, Miami is ahead of them, and so is Washington. They would end up with the eighth seed, but with the win tonight, that's going to help them get closer to a potential matchup with the Celtics in the first round. So assuming – I'm not going to assume Marcus Smart, okay? And I can't even we can't even assume Kyrie Irving for, I would think, the first 3 to 4 games of the first round. But assuming everybody else is healthy, are you concerned with a matchup with the Bucks in the first round? Were you concerned before this game? Did this game change anything to you or for you? And, I mean, they do have – that one superstar that looks like he's going to be pretty tough to guard come playoff time, Giannis Antetokounmpo, really took it to the Celtics bigs tonight. So that would be something that might jump out at people, but I'm wondering what you're thinking.
Well, they have a nice little roster, too. It's not just Antetokounmpo. Sorry if I butcher his name, but, I mean, if you look at his shot chart, he only made 2 shots outside of the paint. So I think in a 7-game series, not just a – on the fly, you know, road game, I think the Celtics will be able to key on that a little bit better, trying to limit him in the paint. And then also they also have Jabari Parker, who's a, you know, he's a plus 14. He's the distributor. He's kind of their glue. He looked real good tonight, right? So
yeah,
they do scare me. I don't think they scare me as much as the Wizards, especially getting John Wall back. But I think how it would go for me, if we're talking Heat, Wizards, Bucks, I think it would go Wizards, Bucks, Heat for teams I wouldn't want to play.
Yeah, I said it on a show last night from a friend of the network here, Celtics Talk Radio, Igor, overseas there. And I talked to him last night, and basically he asked me the same question as far as the playoff matchups are concerned. And I would love to see the Miami Heat in the first round if I'm the Celtics. I think that they've got dysfunction with Whiteside and the way that he's handled at the end of games. He's been vocal about that recently. I want no part of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I want no part of the Washington Wizards, considering the way that they match up with the Celtics pretty well, and the fact that I'm expecting Kyrie to be out for the first at least few games of that series. So just from afar, that's what it looks like to me, and I would be concerned. So I'm hoping that Washington finds a way to sneak to the 6 and Miami falls down to the 7 and Milwaukee and Toronto sort of duke it out in the first round, because I think that would be a pretty great series to watch. But yeah, I would be slightly concerned if I were the Celtics and I had to face this Bucks team, especially because you mentioned Jabari Parker. He looked great tonight, and he has been improving over the past couple of weeks. He came back from injury about a month ago, I think, and he just looks better and better. So a guy that is improving right around now is a dangerous opponent in the playoffs. So the Bucks look good to me, and I would love to stay away from them if I was the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, they're long, they're rangy, they're athletic. I mean, even some of the other guys, Middleton and I think and Tyler Zeller. I mean, even Tyler Zeller was chipping in. So they're kind of they're a low-key stock team for the most part. They don't have a dry cupboard on their bench either. So this team is a tough matchup. That's what I'm really concerned about. Especially, I think they can get by in the first round if they play the Heat I think they'll have Rozier, but without Marcus Smart and Kyrie, the other matchups, I'm not so sure. I know it would go 7 games.
Yeah, and that would be a tough one, because you know in that 7th game, you need a guy like Kyrie Irving, and who knows, maybe he'd be back by game 7. That's been my speculation in my head for the past couple of weeks, that when that surgery went down, I mean, it looked like he was probably going to be out about a month, and who knows what type of wind he's going to have when he comes back. So, I mean, you need a guy like that if it comes down to game 7, because the Celtics relied on Kelly Olynyk last year, but they're not going to be able to rely on guys like Semi Ojeleye, Marcus Morris, and the rest of those role players to knock down shots. So if it's Tatum and Brown and they take over, and that's great. But otherwise, you want to have that killer option. So hopefully Kyrie is back and healthy by then.
Hey, well, Kelly Olynyk is not walking through that door.
That's right.
As it is to say. But I think a question I want to ask you is, you know, Gordon Hayward out at the beginning of the season. Now we may not even have Smart or Kyrie. So my question is, I guess from a competitor standpoint, I hate to even ask it because I hate to just take it away. But do you think they should even try all in for this year? Because obviously they're not ready. Do you want to push? We saw what happened with Isaiah. Do we want to push our prize pig and Kyrie? Do we want to go in without Marcus Smart, even though we might lose him? From my standpoint, the smartest move long term would not push these guys.
Yeah, and I think that they have been taking that approach this entire year, and it's been low key. Danny Ainge has not been really upfront about it, but I truly believe in my heart, my green heart, that the Celtics punted on this year. And it was a solid defensive play to be able to do that, to make them better for the coming years. And I truly believe that their championship aspirations start next year, and that this is the way that they've been sort of doing things in-house. And this is all speculation for me. I have no source of inside information whatsoever. But from the outside looking in, it sort of feels like they're setting themselves up to be a contender for the next 4 to 6 years, as opposed to last year and this year. So I feel like holding Gordon Hayward back and not even letting him see the floor at all is the best way to go. And from the videos that we've seen recently, he is not ready. It's very clear that he's not ready. So I'm still not even holding out hope for Hayward. But as far as Irving's concerned, I feel like Kyrie might come back at some point during the playoffs. But if I'm the franchise, I'm not pushing him. I'm not asking him to come back because they can get an extra round and make some money off of tickets. I am telling him to come back when he feels comfortable. And that's where it gets a little hazy, right? Because he's the type of competitor that if they end up getting through the first round and they match up against Cleveland and he feels 85-90%, you really think he's going to just sit out because he's not 100%? Even if the team encourages him to sit out, I feel like he's going to want to play.
Yeah, a guy like that in that kind of environment, if it is Cleveland, I think that would just have that little extra tick that he, you know, that all athletes have in them, that's saying, I can't sit on this. I need to go out there, even if it's not for the greatest good of the franchise. Just from a competitor standpoint, how could you not want to go against your old team?
I would think that he would come back early. So as far as pushing the player is concerned, I don't think the Celtics would do it, but I hope that he would not push himself, I guess, because in my mind, you said it earlier, everything is gravy at this point. This team they've had a really fun season. They've overachieved yet again under Brad Stevens, and they entertain me for three quarters of the year so far, whatever it is. Almost 100% of the year at this point, actually, with 5 games left. So I'm happy with this season, to be honest with you.
I'm definitely happy. Obviously, the injuries are disappointing. You just felt right when they were going to click, you know, the Kyrie and Marcus Smart go down. So it just kind of put the dump on everything. But you know, the guy I am kind of disappointed in, I hate to bring him up because I think he gets a lot of flack, and he does a lot of things that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but that is, he is Average Al. He is Average Al. I don't care what the analytics say or how, you know, it's tough for me to say that for a guy that I think is there. They are better with him on the team. There's no doubt about that. And I think people had very unrealistic expectations for him because he was a 4-time All-Star before he came here. But yeah. when it's put up or shut up time, a night like tonight, when you just wish he had that little extra firepower on offense, he just doesn't. I know he ends up with 15 points, but situationally, I just wish he was, a guy like him, a max contract guy, shouldn't be only shooting the ball 9 times a game, especially without Kyrie, Larkin, Smart, all these guys out, and he can't get more than 9 shots up. He's selfless to a fault.
Almost. Yes, and you know what? There were times back when Kevin Garnett was here, and the Celtics would make extra passes and miss shots, and you would sort of say, "Oh wow, that's a little bit too selfless. Like, you guys are passing too much." And it's sort of like you can't have it all. And I wouldn't go as far to say average. I'm going to go the Kyle Draper route here and say above average, Al, because I mean, I think that he's 31 years old. He's getting a little bit older, but he still does. He's the utility guy. He's the ultimate utility guy. He does absolutely everything on the court for the Celtics in different ways. He's all over the place as far as block shots and just trying to get his teammates involved. And he leads the team in assists. And there are a lot of things that he does really well. But that's not to say he is devoid of criticism, right? It's not to say that you can't criticize this guy, because I agree with you in some ways. I wish he was more aggressive. And I think he had a couple of nice decisions tonight. He pulled up on the break and hit a 3 towards the end of that game. He also fought for an offensive rebound after he missed a layup and got an and one. So there are a couple of instances where he did stand out on offense. But overall, tonight, he looked like he was kind of standing around and he disappeared a little bit. So as much as I love him and I think that he does, like you said, make the Celtics better, you should be allowed to criticize Al Horford. And that's where I think Celtics Twitter and the media around here doesn't really get it. Like, people are on either side. They're on, we love Al Horford, he's an all-star, or he's no good, he's average. Where I think that people should just meet in the middle on this guy. He's a great player. Sometimes he has bad games. And the reality of it is he has a max contract. So whether you want to complain about that or not, I think his contributions to the Celtics are very important.
I agree, and I would have no issues with him. He does make the Celtics a lot better. I think he does a much better job in his role of being kind of that fourth option on offense when he has the Gordon Haywards, the Kyries, now Terry Rozier. So when he has pieces to pass to, it's totally different. But when it's like, hey, all these guys are out tonight, Al, we need a little bit more from you. That's when I'm disappointed in him. Like a night like tonight, we needed a bigger game out of him tonight.
Yeah, I would have liked to. I mean, he had the efficient game again, right? He played well overall, and I think I'm with you in the fact that I wish there was a little bit more. And there are times where I think that he doesn't utilize his talents as much as he could, because he's focusing too much on being that jack of all trades, master of none type of thing. And a lot of times throughout the course of a regular season, that's going to work out for him. And he's going to have good games, and he's going to contribute, and he's going to look good in the box score, and he's going to look good on the court, and people aren't going to be able to complain about him. But for the third of the season where he's doing those little things and it doesn't look good on the box score or something, that's where the criticism is going to come, because people are always looking to I'm not saying you are the people, but people in general, seems like they're always looking to poke holes in the max contract guy. And you can do that in a lot of sports, but in a league where there's 2 or 3 guys that are going to have a max contract on each roster, I mean, it's tough for them to be that dominant player every single time, unless you're the Golden State Warriors.
And I think at the time, he was deserving of that contract, because it showed that the Celtics could bring in that marquee guy, get other guys involved, and it worked. They got Hayward and Kyrie. And I think on a championship team, he's a guy you want. He's a guy you absolutely want. He's that extra, the guy that can get Hayward the ball. He facilitates so well on fast breaks and on with the pick and roll. So I think he does a lot of great things. He does a little, You know, he's like Kendrick Perkins 5.0 almost. you know what I mean? Just does so many things well. It just when you kind of lean on him, he doesn't show up. I guess that's my one criticism of him. And I think Marcus Morris has been more important to the team on this stretch than he has.
I mean, he's definitely been a bigger scorer down the stretch here. Yeah,
I mean,
Al's just averaging 12 points in his last 10 games. I'm not looking at what Morris has right now, but
he's averaging
20
in his last 10 games. With
there you go.
Rebounds.
So the scoring, yeah, the scoring is not what Al Horford either wants to do or is being asked to do. And
or has ever done.
That's where we can't really determine exactly what's going on, because the coaching staff, it's not like the coaching staff is sitting him down and yelling at him during games and telling him to shoot more. They're allowing him, I believe, to just sort of play the way he wants to. But at the same time, if they thought it was so important for him to take more shots, I feel like they would adjust and they would get him to do that. So I can't put all the blame on Al Horford, but because you have to sort of point the finger at the coaches as well and say, hey, why aren't you guys doing something about him and getting him to utilize his talents? He's a very good scorer. He's typically pretty efficient. And he just doesn't do it all the time. And I'm wondering if this all sort of plays into the larger scheme of things and trying to get the young guys to be acclimated to the league. And if that's the case, then they're going to punt on the championship anyway this year. Then it doesn't matter what he does. They're going to improve these guys for the future. So that's kind of where I'm at this point, I think.
I think he will be a great bargaining chip in trying to get Anthony Davis, if that can ever come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who's going to need to be – I mean, to get him, you're going to have to give up a Tatum or Brown picks and obviously Al Horford. And even then, I don't – from the Pelican standpoint, I don't know why you'd ever get rid of this guy. He's a 25-year-old guy. He's a top-five player in the league.
Right.
I mean, they want to talk about rebuild. He'll be there for the rebuild if you pay him enough.
There's no rebuild. At this point, I feel like he's carrying them to a playoff berth. Right now, they're in the playoffs by a game, and everybody thought they were going to fall apart when DeMarcus Cousins went down. They did exactly the opposite. I mean, they've lost four in a row recently, but after Boogie went down, Davis put them on their back, and they went pretty far, so... It's looking like they might end up getting into the playoffs because of him, and if they miss, it's going to be a bare miss. So I don't think New Orleans is looking at a rebuild at all. I think that they're just going to try and get him to just stick around and add more.
Yeah, they're going to have to add more because they're kind of floating with that mediocrity eighth seed. They missed it last year. They were the eighth seed before, so they're definitely going to need to add someone. I'm not sure who it would be, but...
Right. But either way, I feel like the Celtics are probably – it's a pipe dream, and people shouldn't really get their hopes up on that one. Anyway, I haven't mentioned the call lines at all tonight. Toll-free, 347-215-7771. And, of course, those call lines brought to you by RX Bar. Go check out some RX Bars if you guys haven't already. It's a snack bar. It's a whole food protein bar, and it's delicious. Their ingredients are 100% whole ingredients, real coconut, real cacao, eggs, dates and nuts, egg whites that is, of course. They mix that all together for this delicious taste, and it's good for you too, so you should go check it out. Try the apple cinnamon. They have 10 other delicious flavors, and they are gluten-free and soy-free and dairy-free as well with no added sugar. So if you haven't had an RX bar yet, you should go check one out. And you can do that by going to rxbar.com/CLNS and enter your promo code CLNS, and you'll get 25% off your first order. So thank you, RX Bar, for sponsoring our call lines at 347-215-7771. And if you want on the show, please press 1, and we will bring you on. Otherwise, we won't. Anyway,
Is that how you say that? Cacao?
Cacao.
I have no clue.
Yeah, I think so.
I mess that one up every time, so at least I know now.
It's Coco is spelled the other way, so I'm going with real cacao, the beans, the real beans that they have there, not that powdered sugar crap. Anyway, did anything else stand out to you tonight in general? Because if not, I think we can move on to sort of the bigger picture of things. We've kind of been bouncing back and forth, but I do have a little bit of a thought as far as rotations in the playoffs are concerned, unless you have more on this game tonight.
No, just kind of a close loss with a injury-riddled bench, so I think we can move on.
All right, fair enough. We got about half an hour left here on the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show, CLNS Media Celtics post-game show. I haven't said that radio one in a while. But my thought here, Colin, is the center position. And obviously, I think the best lineup that the Celtics can throw out there, let's include Kyrie Irving, would be Tatum, Brown, Horford, Irving, and anybody else you want to throw in there. I'm staying away from the centers right now because I feel like scoring-wise, it's probably Marcus Morris. Otherwise, I mean, maybe you want to get Terry Rozier in there as another guard alongside Kyrie Irving. But either way, I feel like both Baines and Monroe, talent-wise, are out of the top six or even seven for the rotations. But I'm curious, in a playoff scenario, are these guys going to get more playing time in your mind? Because while they are important to the Celtics and what they've been doing recently, when it comes down to the playoffs, I think it may be more important to have both of these guys playing really well. So splitting minutes is tough for a lot of different players. These guys seem to be doing it and taking it pretty well. So I'm hoping that it can continue, because when it gets to that grind in the playoffs, once in a while you do need that big man to just be out there clogging the lane.
So you're talking the center position, which one? Who do you think should be in that with that rotation?
Yeah, I mean, or are they going to split time? Are the Celtics even going to do that? Because, the playoffs are a grind, but like I said right off the top, the top six players on this team are not either Baines or Monroe, so they don't fall in there. So if you want to have your best quote-unquote lineup, I feel like they may not be in it, but as far as the playoffs are concerned, with that slow-it-down half-court game, they might become more important.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to still see, I think, a lot of Marcus Morris. He's not a center, but I think, I don't know, I think Brad Stevens is a big Aaron Baines guy. Aaron Baines is the guy who won a championship with San Antonio. He has experience. He's played a lot of big games, so you might see a lot of him, and I think they're a lot better than with him on the court than they are with Monroe. Monroe might score a little bit more, but his defensive presence is a little maddening at times. I know, he had 10 rebounds tonight. He's slow
on rotations and everything. Oh, we could talk for an hour about how bad he is.
So yeah, Monroe, he's slow, and the pace of the playoffs is just so much faster. And obviously, you're going to see rotations dwindle a little bit. That your top five guys, like you said, their minutes are going way up. So that's what I think about that.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. It might become something to look out for, but I feel like Brad Stevens might try and play the matchups, and that's where you might get in a little bit of trouble. If a guy's cold, you might lose a playoff game because of it. So it's funny to see Baines starting to shoot a lot more threes with all these other guys out.
Yeah.
And he knocked a couple down the other night, but I wouldn't count on that in the playoffs either. So I said earlier that everything's gravy, but if we want to actually get into this and start talking about how far the Celtics can go, I think things like that are the little things that win you series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're going to need some better center play 100% from Monroe on the defensive end, I think. And I mean, they're going to have guys like Tatum and Brown unfairly pick up the slack.
All right. Well, I'm not even sure if I'm on the air right now, but we seem to have lost Colin. I definitely can't hear him. He just dropped out at some point. So thank you for staying with us here in that little bit of dead air, if that's even what it was. Maybe I'm talking to myself. Maybe I'm not. But I reiterate now that the Celtics lost this game in Milwaukee, 106-102. And you know what? If we don't get him back in another minute or two, then we're going to end this thing. But Jaylen Brown led the way for the Celtics. We hadn't really got into his play too much tonight. So I will touch on that for just a quick second. And I think that he has been looking a lot better as far as his concussion is concerned. And tonight proved it. And Colin, I think we have you back now. Is that right?
I believe so. Am I back?
All right, great. Yep, you are back. So I was just I don't know how long I lost you for, but either way, I just sort of transitioned into talking about Jaylen Brown because we said we were going to talk about him earlier, and he had actually a great game. He led the way with 24 points for the Celtics tonight. And coming back from his concussion recently, he looks stronger and stronger every game. So let's touch on his play from tonight a little bit and how we think he's going to perform down the stretch here.
I mean, he just improved so much from last year. It's kind of crazy, and it's in every single facet of the game. And you look at his last 10 games, he's, you know, obviously a little slower coming back, but, you know, 12-4. I love the production you get out of the kid, and he's kind of like the energizing bunny. He just doesn't stop.
Yeah, I just can't – I just can't – every time I see him – get out there and sort of improve from game to game, week to week, I get a little bit more surprised because I was, I guess I was in the Jason Tatum camp early on in this season, and I still am. I think that he's going to have an overall better career, but Jaylen Brown, man, he is starting more and more to grow into his athleticism, and it's too bad that he suffered that freak accident there on that dunk, because I think sometimes he's a little hesitant as far as dunks are concerned, and that's fine, but you still have to finish at the rim. So that was always my biggest complaint about him, is that he wasn't really a great finisher at the rim. His dunks were great, but his control wasn't, in my mind, for the first year and a half. But he's improved greatly in that regard in the past few months. So I can't even criticize him for that anymore. And I like the steps that Jaylen Brown has been taking. He looks better and better every time I see him, really.
Yeah, and that control in the air when, you know, trying to finish is so much different from the college game to the NBA. It's just so much more faster, physical. And you look at the guy's numbers from last year, he's averaging around 18 minutes a game, you know, around 6 points. And you kind of saw flashes of it, but you're like, all right, this is still kind of a work in progress. And as we see with Jason Tatum, he kind of already has that step, kind of is already showing that he can have that a year earlier than Jaylen had it. So I'm torn. I'm not sure who's going to really have it, because I think Jaylen shows a little more athleticism, but I think Jason probably has a little more upside, if that makes any sense.
I mean, he looks like the more smooth and polished offensive player, but Jaylen Brown, to me, has a higher ceiling defensively. And I think Tatum actually made a great block tonight, and he is a solid defensive player, but the athleticism from Jaylen Brown is the thing that sort of puts him over the top in my mind. So his ceiling seems to be a little bit higher, and if he can hit that ceiling, then I'm going to eat my words. But overall, I think Tatum is the guy.
And I hear people talk about it all the time. They're like, well, who are we going to have to get rid of, Jaylen or Jason? It's like, well, hopefully neither.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
These are your two. These are your guys. You know, coupled with Kyrie, hopefully they can get him signed with a long-term deal. If you look at the defensive ratings right now, you got Jaylen's number 7th in the league, and then you got Jason at number 10. So these guys are well-rounded guys too.
Yeah, this is sort of the way that I look at the Celtics roster, the future roster, if you will. I'm looking at Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Al Horford will be around for another couple years or so, and we'll see what happens after that. Maybe he gets traded. Maybe he walks away, retires, what have you. He's had concussion issues. We know that's an issue. So we want his health to be good into his old age, right? So, and by old age, I don't mean NBA old age. I mean this man needs to be healthy his entire life. So if that starts to recur, that's something you need to watch out for. So not to say I don't want Horford, but I'm looking at those four guys as the core, and then it's either Smart or Rozier, depending on how you want to build your team and whether you have Kyrie Irving or not, actually. And after that, it's kind of filler. And that to me, if Tatum and Brown can develop to the things that we think that they can do, that's going to be a good contending team for the next 5 to 10 years. Who knows?
Exactly. And it's right there in the stats. I think one of my favorites is plus minus, and you have Jason right now 15th in the league with a plus 350, and then you have Jalen at a plus 338. So I mean, these guys, I mean, they're studs. There's no doubt about it. They're young guys, and the best is yet to come.
Yeah, and it's so rare that the Celtics as a franchise see players this good as a rookie. And Sean Grandy's been tweeting things out about Jason Tatum and his three-pointers all night tonight, about how he's closing in on the record for most three-pointers in the NBA as a teenager. And he's also just took the record tonight from J.R. Bremer, of all people, for most threes in a season by a Celtics rookie. Of course, Paul Pierce had the lockout shortened season as his rookie season, so he did not benefit from a full season. He may have been the one that Tatum was chasing this year had he gotten that full year, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that in his first season, Tatum's already knocking down threes. He's scoring points better than almost any Celtic rookie in history, and that's saying a lot. I mean, obviously there are guys like Bird and Russell who you can't really compare to, but there are a lot of players to have come through the Celtics as rookies that are solid players and had good careers, but they were never as outstanding in that rookie season as this guy has been so far. So it's a bright future. You have to be excited about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only guy that is going to win Rookie of the Year above him is Ben Simmons, who is proving to be close to a top 10 talent, and he's closing in on that faster than we all thought. So if he's in the same conversation as that guy, you got to be excited.
Yeah, and Simmons seems to be a step ahead of everyone, and that's kind of where I question his rookie status, even though he didn't play in a single game last year.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have redshirt years.
Right, I understand how it goes, but it's just he's around the league, so it's not like he's experiencing everything about the league for the first time. It's just the in-game stuff. So while you have to give him a ton of credit, not taking anything away from him as far as that's concerned, I think that Jason Tatum has been more impressive. And even though Simmons has put up some gaudy numbers.
Well, just, I mean, NBA living alone, as you have to learn that on a curve, and you know, you've been in high school and you've lived with, you know, your parents or garden, whoever it is. You know, that all factors in. Personal life, I think, factors into the NBA way more than any sport, I believe, because it is kind of a diva sport, and you got to keep up with the other guys, and you have so many other marketing ploys going on. And so, you know, with Ben Simmons, he gets a whole year to see how that all works, and he's like, all right, now I have it figured out. Now I can just go play, and I know how to deal with the rest. Jalen and Jason had to kind of learn it on the fly.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Tatum just looks so smooth and calm and collected, even when he's making rookie decisions or rookie mistakes, if you will. Like, there are times out there where you sort of look at him and he gets called for an offensive foul, or he rushes a shot at the end of a game, or maybe he doesn't take a drive to the hoop and he pulls up for three when you think that he could have gotten past his man. But those are all things that you learn throughout many years in the league. The fact that he looks so calm and collected in making mistakes is encouraging in and of itself, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I hate to divert the conversation away, but I think Terry Rozier is the guy I'm most surprised with. I mean, this is a guy who I was, you know, expecting, you know, this is just another mid first round pick. They didn't hit on kind of like the Jared Sullinger, Kelly Olynyk kind of thing, you know, Fab Mello. He's just, you know, not going to be, he's not going to be here a while. And I think Danny for a while was thinking, all right, like guys like Smart, Olynyk, and Rozier, those are kind of the guys we hit on early in this rebuild, guys that weren't probably going to be around. We'll let them finish out their rookie contract and bon voyage. But he's proving to be almost that James Harden situation where he may be too good to keep.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to definitely have to choose between Smart and Rozier as far as the money is concerned. And Smart may end up being cheaper on the open market. So the Celtics may decide to keep him. But Terry Rozier has said publicly that he believes he should be a starter in this league. And when he said that 4 months ago, 5 months ago, I sort of laughed it off. I thought I'm glad that he has confidence, you know, that you need that type of confidence in the NBA. But I just didn't see that in his game. And he has proven, he didn't play tonight, obviously, with that tweaked ankle. He wanted to play. But he's proven that he can be a starter in this league because the Celtics are winning with him at the helm. I think they're something like 14-4 without Kyrie Irving and I believe 10 or 11-4 with Rozier as the starter. So that's that, and he's playing well in those games too. So he's proven, he's backing up his words, and anyone that questioned him, like myself, shouldn't really be doing that anymore. And to me, Colin, he is going to be a starter in this league somewhere. And I'm just I feel like it's definitely not going to be the Celtics unless Kyrie Irving leaves the team for some reason.
Yeah, I think the smartest route, you got to trade him. I think the best move, if Smart gets a, I think Smart will. I think someone's going to overpay for him. They're going to give him a 12. They're going to give him, I think Smart will get an 11 to 12 million on the open market. If they can keep him around 8, I'd say go for it. But Rozier, if you show him off for another year, I think you might as well just try and trade him right now, because if he goes for another year, there's no way you're re-signing him, and then you won't get anything out of him.
Yeah, and so that's going to be a tough decision for Danny Ainge to make. He may have to come down to trading one of those guys, or both, or if one of them leaves, like you said, like if Smart gets a good deal, he may end up trying to trade Rozier later. It's going to be another strange offseason, I think, because there are going to be some moving pieces back and forth here, depending on who the Celtics decide to keep and who they trade away. And I'm hoping that the four that I mentioned earlier, Irving, Hayward, Brown, and Tatum, are the ones that stick around. And after that, if other guys on the team stick around, I would not be opposed to it, because I like pretty much the rest of the roster, excluding Nader. But otherwise, I mean, if they get traded for a decent deal or something, then I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously that's the core, those four guys you want to talk about. And then I don't know what Shane Larkin did, but he's been a solid piece at times. Obviously a little inconsistent, and you know, hopefully these guys can just stick around. I mean, my question: what team is, you know, I hate to get off topic, but what team do you think was more likable this year or last year?
You know, I like these guys better. I like this team better. They look like they're fighting harder, even though last year's team fought. You know, like. Mm-hmm. Guys like Jay Crowder really grinded it out for the Celtics. You got to give him in props. Even though people were critical of him being upset about fans wanting to Gordon Hayward, et cetera, I think you have to give him credit for playing hard and having a good season. So even a guy like that, I think that the Celtics grinded it out quite a bit last year. But this team just seems to grind it out and look better doing it. And they are more entertaining, and I like them better.
I agree. I mean, I think last year was a better story. We didn't really expect them to get the one seed, go all the way, and then, you know, Isaiah with the heroics playing after his sister dies and playing through an injury and, you know, taking a game from Cleveland, and we all thought, oh, this is the next step. They got Hayward, and it's kind of like, thank God, things unraveled the way they did, because if you're talking about a team that has this Isaiah, no Hayward, it would be a bleak situation in Boston. Thank God that trade was made.
Man, does he look great? Danny Ainge looks great on that one
big time.
They would be a middling team, I think, if they didn't have Kyrie for the first 50 games, as well as they've been playing without him recently. He won them so many games at the beginning of the season, and he was so important to them that without Isaiah and without somebody else to score, I think you would see some good things from Tatum, Brown, etc., but it wouldn't be the same.
No,
so I'm with you on that.
It's just thank God he was there for most of the season, because he really did set them up. Because even if they did tank at the end of the year, I think they had, a 6 or 7 game lead over Cleveland for that second spot. So they were really never in too much danger losing that positioning. And now, they have a battle tomorrow against Toronto. That's going to be the game to get within a half a game of the Raptors.
Well, it's going to be a game now, actually, because the Celtics lost tonight. So they're two back. But either way, whoever wins tomorrow should have the tiebreaker against these two, between these two teams. So if they do end up tied at the end of the season with the remaining 4 games, then maybe the tomorrow night's game is pretty important. And if the Celtics win, they'll have that tiebreaker. So we'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see what happens tomorrow. But that should be a good one. And like you said, on the back-to-back against Toronto, Toronto lost to Cleveland tonight, so both teams going in with a loss, both teams probably trying to win tomorrow night. They want that one seed, and I'm sure Toronto is probably a little bit more hungry than the Celtics are for that one, because the Celtics just want to get healthy, right? So either way, tomorrow night should be pretty good, and looking forward to it. So unless you've got anything else tonight, Colin, I think that's going to do it for us.
No, I think we did. I like to pat ourselves on the back. Why not?
All right.
Oh, perfect.
Somebody will pat us on the back tomorrow, I'm sure. let's see. We've got either Bobby Manning or John Duke tomorrow night. I'm not sure who exactly it's going to be, but it looks like it's going to be one of them and Sam Sheehan. So maybe it'll be a 3-person roundtable. Who knows? Check in tomorrow night on the CLNS Media Celtics postgame show after that Toronto game that we just mentioned. Hopefully it's a better outcome than tonight. And they will have you covered right after the game. That one's going to start at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. The postgame show will, I should say, because the game starts at 7. So check us out tomorrow night on CLNS Media. For Colin Letty, my name is Matt Rury. Thanks for listening, everybody. Celtics lose 106-102 out in Milwaukee. And that's it for us here on the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.